Guilty. And I'm so thankful to be here this morning. Man, what an awesome song service. Don't take that for granted. Don't take it for granted. Jake did an awesome job. Thank you for that. You know, I heard him say that welcome all the visitors. And how many of you are visitors for the first time here this morning? If you would, raise your hand. I just want you to understand that I am not the pastor here at Calvary Baptist Church, okay? Now, even though I'm not the pastor, I did stay at a Holiday Inn last night, okay? So we're going to be okay. I thank the Lord for Brother Robbie. He is one of my mentors in this. He's a great friend, except when we go hunting. And he shoots turkeys out in front of me, and I hope you hear that. But I love Brother Robbie, and I thank him so much for this opportunity. Now, I've been here a few times. I came a long time ago when you were in the old building. I think you had a youth day or something, and we brought our youth group over, and I came to that. And I've been here a few times to hear, maybe during revival services or whatnot. But I don't know a lot of you. I know a lot of your faces. I know, of course, Brother Jake's face just because he's up here a lot, and I met Brother Matt and Miss Miranda last night and enjoyed our time together. But I'd like to get to know you a little better. I'd like to just kind of like, it reminds me of this young boy who wanted to date this girl, and they were talking, and the girl's parents were a little old-timey. They were a little old-fashioned. And they told her, said, look, if you're going to date him, he's got to come to the house. He's got to sit down, eat dinner with us. He's got to talk to us about some things, and we got to lay down some ground rules, and then we'll either approve this or not approve this. So she goes back to him and says, you know, look, you got to come meet my parents. We're gonna have dinner tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. You need to be there right on the dot so that you can meet them. They just kind of want to go over some things and meet you or whatnot. So be on your best behavior. So he got this idea. He went down to the local drugstore, and it was back in the old times where the pharmacist sold everything. And he went up to the pharmacist and he says, I want a 1 pound box of candy, a 2 pound box of candy, and a 3 pound box of candy. And he said, good night, son. Well, you going to a party? He said, no, sir. He said, look, my girlfriend invited me over, and you know, her parents are a little old fogey, and they want to meet me and ask me some questions. We get done with dinner and get done with the question. We're going to go out on the front porch. We're going to sit on the front porch, sit and swing. And if my girlfriend sits real close to me, I'm going to give her that 1 pound box of candy. If she reaches over there and she grabs my hand, I'm going to give her that 2 pound box of candy. And if she leans over and kisses me on my jaw, I'm going to give her the 3 pound box of candy. He said, well, man, sounds like you got a good plan. Good luck to you. So he bought the candy that next night. He comes to the door, knocks on the door at 5:58. You might make sure you're early, boys, when you do that. He knocked on the door at 5:58. He comes in. The table is spread. I'm talking about fried chicken. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about cream corn, cat head biscuits, green beans, fried. Oh, we can go on. We eating after this. Let's go. Amen. But he sat down to eat, and daddy walks in and mama walks in, and they sit down, and they said, son, would you ask the blessing for us? Well, Joe stands up. Boy, he starts praying. Dear God, thank you so much for the beautiful day that you've given. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And thank you, and just kept on and on. And on, probably 5 to 10 minutes just praying like crazy. I'm talking about praying so hard sweat was coming down his brow there. And he finishes the prayer and in your name, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And the girl looked at him and said, my, I didn't know you were so spiritual. He looked at her and said, my, I didn't know your daddy was a pharmacist down at the local drugstore. So we got to know him real quick. And I want to get to know you real quick this morning because I'm going to be in and out. And thank you again for having me. If you turn in your Bibles, I do that to calm me down, by the way. If you turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter number 1, that's going to be where we're going to find our text this morning. But I'm going to start in Galatians chapter number 4 and read a few verses there, and then we'll get to 2 Peter chapter number 1 here in just a second. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 4, starting in verse number 4, he says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, you've given me this message and you've given it to me for this day. Lord, I pray that you would use it. I pray that you would use me, get me out of the way, but speak through me this morning. Lord, I pray that there's one in here that is not sure if they died today where they'd spend eternity. They'd get that settled before it's everlasting too late. Be with us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Galatians chapter number 4 verse 6 says, "Because we are the Son of God, we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us." In John chapter number 1 in verse 12, the Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So when we get saved, we are called the sons of God. And because we are the sons of God, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within our hearts. We said it this morning in Sunday school in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. The Spirit dwelleth in you. Now we got something that is the most supernatural power that lives on the inside of our hearts. But man, we walk around sometimes defeated. We walk around like just the worst thing in the world's happened to us, but we've got the Holy, I mean, think of the convicting power that he has. Remember that time, when you gave your testimony this morning, there you are. You remember when you walked in there in 2015 and God started convicting your heart that you were a sinner on your way to hell. That was the Holy Spirit. That was the power. I remember July. For 6 months, he convicted me that I was, if I died, I was going to be on my way to hell. I wasn't sure. I drive down I-95 on my way home from Bible Baptist Church, begging God, "Lord, please don't let a car come across this median and hit me head on and send me out into eternity. Because I don't know that if I die, I'd go to heaven. I'll get it right tonight if you'll just give me another chance." That happened for 6 months, Sunday morning. So it didn't matter what he preached on. I got convicted of my salvation. That's the convicting power of that Spirit that lives on the inside. Not only is it a convicting power, it's a comforting power. Some of you have been through some trouble in time. Some of you have lost loved ones in your life. Some of you have lost jobs. Some of you have had some catastrophic event going in your life. And the Holy Spirit came down and comforted you during that time, and there's no way to explain it but to say that was the Holy Spirit. There's a comforting power that he gives. But we walk around like there's no power in our lives whatsoever. In 2 Peter, I'm going to go over there to 2 Peter. 2 Peter was encouraging those, if you start reading in verse number 1, it says, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith." So he's talking to Christians here, right? And he comes down and he says, I want to encourage you to add to that faith some virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is just being a moral person, doing right. So add to your faith some morality. Add to your faith some virtue. And to your virtue, add knowledge. And to your knowledge, add temperance, which is self-control. To your temperance, add patience. To your patience, add godliness. To your godliness, add brotherly kindness. and to your brotherly kindness add charity. He tells us that all the way down through verse number 7. In verse number 8 we pick up, says, for if these things, all those things that I just listed, be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Go back to that day you got saved. Go back to that time where you got real excited that God saved your life. Don't ever forget what he did for your grandmother this week. Let that encourage you, because that's the power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you. Jump over to verse number 12. He says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of what? Of these things. The faith, the virtue, the knowledge, the temperance, the patience, the godliness, the brotherly kindness, and the charity. He said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up. To stir you up. By what? By putting on, or by putting in you a remembrance. Man, we got to get stirred up for some things. See, what happens is we get saved. And we get real excited. And then life goes on. And over a period of time, that spirit that lives on the inside of you begins to settle. I thought of an illustration, and I almost got shot this morning when I brought in my illustration, by the way. I didn't think about bringing a bag in, being a visitor, bringing a bag in and sitting on the front row and walking out. I didn't think about it. But Mr. Chip, he's on it now. He came to me, came to somebody else. I think he called the pastor, woke him up. But I thought about this illustration of chocolate milk. How many of you like chocolate milk in here? Yeah. So if you make chocolate milk correctly, and I hope you do. If you don't, I'm going to teach you something this morning. You got nothing to do with the Bible. But you get this chocolate and you put it down in this milk. And listen, you can't just put a little bit. You got to get a lot of it. All right. Now, I don't know if you could see this, but I started thinking about chocolate milk. When you make chocolate milk, you have a glass of milk there. And by the way, this is better than the Yoo-hoo or the already pre-made chocolate milk. You make it from milk and good old chocolate syrup, not sugar-free. It don't work right. But you make good. But as I started thinking about this, we get saved and the Holy Spirit is placed on the inside of us. But over a period of time, it settles. It settles in us. And we look around and we still look like that person we were before we got saved. See, if you didn't look at the bottom of that glass, it looks just like this glass. Still looks like white milk. Still looks like that person you were before you got saved. We need to get stirred up as Christians. Hey, you say, I don't know that I'm, well, you need to let the Holy Spirit come sit right beside you right now and stir your heart up for salvation. Like he did mine on July the 6th, 2009. Like he did you in 2015. Like he did many of you, and you remember the date that you got saved. Listen, lives are dependent on it that we get stirred up. Four things that I think we need to get stirred up in as Christians. Number one, we need to get stirred up for sinners. We need to get stirred up for sinners. Remember, Paul's one of my favorite people in the Bible. And in Acts chapter number 17, if I can lay the groundwork here, Paul gets saved over in Acts chapter number 9, and God says, I'm going to use you. I got a work for you to do. You're going to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And over in chapter number 12, he begins his first missionary journey, and he goes through this area and goes all the way up through the Galatia area, and he comes back through, and then he spends some time in Jerusalem, and as they're going back out for their second journey, he starts back up going through that Galatia area, and he wants to go into Asia. But if you remember there in Acts chapter number 16, I believe it is, the Holy Spirit would not let him go into Asia. So he travels all the way across to Troas. And he's laying there in Troas, and he sees the man in his dream. The Macedonia call is what we call it. The Macedonia area was over the body of water there. And he said, and that man in that vision said, come over and help us. So immediately they got in a boat. They went over. First place he comes to is Philippi. You know, it says, and straightway he goes into the synagogue and he begins to preach Jesus. And what happens? They get mad at him. They put him in jail. They put him in prison. And remember, the great earthquake came, and him and Silas were in there singing praises to the Lord, and the jailer was going to kill himself. And he said, whoa, don't kill yourself. We're all still here, brother. We're here. We're here. And that testimony, that the jailer went to him and said, what must I do to be saved? So he just got put into prison. They let him out of prison, and he goes over to Thessalonica. When he gets to Thessalonica, he straightway preaches Jesus. The Jews, the Pharisees, they get mad at him. They run him out of town. He goes down to Berea. In Berea, again, the Jews and the Pharisees from Thessalonica come down to Berea, and they run him out of town. And they put him on a ship, and they send him down to Athens. And the Bible says in Acts 17, in verse 16, now while Paul waited for them, which was Silas and Timothy, at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city given wholly to idolatry. He was stirred up for sinners. You see, we got to go out. We got to get a burden for sinners. You got to go out and you got to be the church. You know this. And witness. You say, I, that's why I witness, because I know there's a power. I can't do anything to save them. All I can do is to tell them. But if you're not stirred up for them, if you don't care about them, you're not going to say anything. Man, we got to get stirred up for sinners. Do you agree or disagree? We got to get stirred up for sinners. I started thinking about this man. He's by the name of Bill Holstein. Last year, a year ago, about this time, my air conditioner went out. And it's hot in the summer in South Georgia, as you can attest. And my air conditioner went out. And I remember air conditions never go out Monday through Friday between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. I think they got a setting on it. If it's going to break after 5 p.m. or break on the weekend, right? So it was on a Saturday. It was about 3:30 in the afternoon, and it started getting hot. And I thought, man, I can't sleep in my house if it's hot. So I get on the phone, and I start calling the AC place. And this man by the name of Bill Osteen knocks on my door. I open the door, and we go out to the air-conditioned unit, and it's low on Freon. He charges it up. He says, listen, man, you got a leak. He says, this is the second time we've been out here in a matter of months. He said, you got a leak. You got to have a new air condition. And I thought I was about to, I mean, I had planned on this for a couple of years. And he said, you got to have a new air condition. He said, I'm not even going to charge you for this visit. I'm going to put together a quote for you because you're going to buy it from us. And he was right. He didn't charge me for the visit. God's going to buy it from them. I didn't care what it was, what it cost. He sold me right then and there. Well, the Lord laid on my heart to witness to Bill Holstein. But it was Saturday afternoon. We were getting ready to go somewhere. My mother, who was here this morning, thank you for being here, from Thomasville, Georgia, she was at my house, and we were about to go somewhere, and I remember just vividly telling the Lord, I ain't got time to do this. I ain't got time. I'll do it next time. I'll do it next time. So I didn't witness to him. He leaves. He says, I'll call you next week. Bill never called me the next week. Then another week went by. And after 2 weeks, I picked up the phone. I called the place and I said, listen, y'all were supposed to send me a quote for an air conditioner. She said, yeah, I am so sorry about that. The man that was going to give you the quote and send you the email and call your whatever, he got burned up in a fire. And I thought, are you talking about Bill? She said, yeah, I am. How do you know? I said, well, that's who came to my house. I said, you've got to be kidding. Please tell me he's alive. She said, we think he's going to make it. He's in the Gainesville burn unit as we speak. He's still touch and go. I immediately bowed my head and said, Lord, if you'll give me another chance, I'll witness to him. Another guy came to my house, set up the air conditioned stuff, and I said, do you have Bill's number? He gave me Bill's number. I called him a week later. He's in the hospital. I said, Bill, this is Derek Chastain, man. How you doing? He said, man, you ain't going to believe what happened to me. And he started to tell me about burning some boxes in his backyard, and he's an AC guy, and he grabbed a box that still has some of that powerful stuff in it, and he threw it in the fire, and it exploded all over him. He said, I immediately held my breath and started rolling. I didn't want to inhale the flames. If I inhaled the flames, it would burn me from the inside out, and I wouldn't be here today. He said, I'm glad that I thought about that. He said, I have a third-degree burns from my head all the way down to my toe. He said, I'm going to be in here for at least 2 months. I said, Bill, can I tell you a story? He said, yeah. I said, man, when you came to my house, the Lord told me to witness to you. The Lord told me to tell you about Jesus and what he has done for me. I said, and man, I'm so sorry I did not do that. I said, but he spared your life for a reason. I said, man, I'd love to come show you from the Bible what he did for me and what he did for you. He said, well, Derek, you can't come in here. COVID won't allow you in here. He said, but I promise you, when I get home, I'll give you a call. He got home about a month or two later, and he gave me a call, and he ended up coming to the house. And on a Monday afternoon after school, he sat in my kitchen, and I opened the Bible, and I was able to show how he can know that he spent eternity in heaven. And he accepted Jesus as his Savior that afternoon. Man, you have got to get stirred up for sinners. I teach a Sunday school class at Bible Baptist Church, and we've got a track challenge going on in our class. I set a goal to pass out 500 tracks in our community by the end of the year. We started this in March. It was going really slow. I was trying to get them to get a burden, get them stirred up for sinners. And I watched a young boy by the name of Christian Flowers, who is 16 years old, put everybody in our church to shame when it came to handing out tracts. And I went to him. I said, Christian, what are you doing on Monday night? He said, nothing. I just get off work at 6. I said, I want to get with you. I want to go learn from you how to pass out tracts. He said, learn from me? I said, man, I'll watch you. You grab a stack every Sunday night. And the next week you grab another stack, and the next week you grab another stack. So that Monday night I went to pick him up. We got in the truck. I said, all right, what do we do? What's the plan? He said, I don't have a plan. I just look at somebody and go, man, I've got the answer. They may not know it, and I got to tell them. He'll stop on the side of the road. Somebody's fixing their tire and give them a track. Somebody's walking on the side of the road. He'll stop and get, he's stirred up for sinners. Man, we got to get stirred up for sinners. We got to get stirred up for sinners. Not only we got to get stirred up for sinners, we got to get stirred up for service. We got to get stirred up for service. Over in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, just a couple books back, if you want to turn there. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 12, it says this. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Paul is encouraging Timothy, listen, don't neglect the gift that God's given you. Why? Because not only will it help save your life, but it'll help those that hear you save their life also. Man, we need to get stirred up for service because lives of others depend on it. I don't, maybe you're sitting in here this morning and God's called you to do something or wants you to do something in this church and you're just not doing it. Man, there's lives in here that could be affected because of you. And I want to encourage you to get stirred up for service. In 2 Timothy 1:6, he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul reminds Timothy to stir up that spiritual gift. Listen, I don't know what gifts he's given you, but your children are watching you. Your children's lives depend on it. We ate dinner with Brother Matt last night, and he made the statement that he noticed over 10 years of spending time in the youth that the children often reflected what their parents were going through. And when their parents got right, and their parents got saved, and their parents got stirred up, it immediately spilled over into the children. Hey, their lives depend on it. There's others in this church whose lives depend on it, that you get stirred up for service. There's relatives that are watching you. They saw you get excited about God saving your soul. They saw you get excited about doing something for Him. And all they're just watching you. They're just watching you. If you quit, their life depends on it. I saw some other examples in the Bible of those that got stirred up. Over in Exodus, the children of Israel got stirred up to build the tabernacle. Y'all remember that in Exodus 35 verse 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred them up. And then Exodus 36 and verse 2. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. We mentioned this morning in Sunday school over in Haggai where God stirred up the heart of Zerubbabel, and He stirred up the heart of Joshua, and He stirred up the remnant there of the children of Israel to rebuild the temple. See, and they had to go to work. He told them to go up on the mountain, and He told them to get that wood and come down. He just didn't say, hey, here's some wood. I was listening, Brother Matt. He said, go up there and get it. You got to get stirred up for service, and you got to get to work doing something for Him. What are you stirred up about to do for the Lord? What are you stirred up about? Are you stirred up? These kids had just come back from camp. They're pretty stirred up. Mama, daddy, don't put a damper on that fire. Get stirred up for service. Not only we need to get stirred up for sinners, we need to go spread the gospel. We need to get stirred up for service. But number three, we need to get stirred up for sanctification. Stirred up for sanctification. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, he says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. He says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Sanctification means to be set apart. It means to separate yourself. Those people in that lost world ought to look at you and see something different in your life. See, this got me thinking about this chocolate milk. If I were to take this glass of milk right here, and it's still cold, I'm glad it's not hot, because it'd be nasty. And I took a sip of it. It still just tastes like milk. But there's chocolate in there. Well, we need to get stirred up. We need to get in our Bibles. We need to obey our Bibles. We need to apply our Bibles. We need to get in church. We need to get busy in church. We need to start telling others about God. We need to start putting a smile on our face and getting excited about what God's done in our life. And before you know it, you start stirring up that spirit that's inside of you. And you look down and you don't look anything like the world looks. And they look at you and they go, man, I want some of that. Just like some of you are looking up here right now and going, man, I want some of that. Why? Because you got stirred up for sanctification. You started looking different. You started talking different. You started acting different. People get a taste of your life and you taste different. And they like it. Are you stirred up? Why? Why do you look different? Why do you taste different? Why do you act different? Why do you talk? Because you are different. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That is totally different than this right here. That'll look at you and want what you have. If they look at you and they see you complaining, see, people got this Christianity thing all mixed up. They think it's a bunch of don'ts. They don't understand that when you're lost, you're in bondage of sin. But when you get saved, you get set free and you get to live that beautiful life in Christ. And man, it's so much better. It'll put a smile on your face. It'll put a hop in your step. It'll put an excitement in the air. You'll be wont to tell others about Christ, but you got to get stirred up. So we get stirred up for sinners. We get stirred up for sanctification. We get stirred up for service. And that's talking to all you Christians in the room this morning. But let me talk to you, to those that maybe don't know without a shadow of a doubt that if you died today, you'd spend eternity in heaven. You better get stirred up for salvation. You better get stirred up for salvation. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In James chapter number 4 and verse 14, he says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. See, you may be in this church, you may be a member of this church, you may have made a profession of faith, but your life hadn't changed. And you're in here, you're working security. You're singing in the choir. Maybe you're playing an instrument. Maybe you're doing some type of ministry and you're trying to stir it up. But man, nothing is happening. Man, it just Monday is awful. Tuesday is awful. Wednesday is awful. And you're stirring it up. You're trying to get, man, but God, I'm going and I'm doing and I'm trying to serve in the church and I'm trying to be active and, but you have works without faith. And even though you're trying to stir up that spirit is not within you. Don't mess with this thing called life and death. Because what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. If I asked you this morning, if you've bought a life insurance policy, I bet 90% of the people in here would raise their hands. Why? Because you're preparing to die. You're making sure that your loved ones are taken care of when you die. But you haven't taken advantage of what Christ has done for you on the cross. You haven't prepared that way. You've prepared physically and financially for your family, but you haven't prepared spiritually. And you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire if you don't get stirred up for salvation. You say, how do I prepare to die? It's all on this hand right here. You got to understand that you were born a sinner. In Romans chapter number 5, in verse number 12, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You're born a sinner. There's a price for sin in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But we know that God loved us. In John chapter number 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Romans chapter number 5 and verse 8, he says, for God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus paid that price on the cross for our sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Christ Jesus. And when I share this with people and say, man, are you prepared to die? Do you believe in those things? And they look at me and I say, man, that's all right. Ain't it? That's thumbs up. That's good. But that ain't it. That ain't it. You got to go over to Romans chapter number 10 and verse 9 and 10. And you got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart what Christ Jesus did for you on that cross. And accept him as your Savior. And he says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man, you've got to get stirred up for salvation. I spent the last week, I coached football, high school football for 16 years at the highest level at Camden County High School. I was there from 07 to 2015, won two state championships, won another state championship up in Atlanta, Georgia, and got a head coaching job. In the last 2 weeks, I've been able to spend some time with a coaching staff out of Warner Robins. Had one get saved out of there. Had spent a week with a team out of Walnut Grove High School up near Atlanta. Spent a whole week at football camp just preaching the gospel. Had two young men get saved on Friday morning, and I asked them this question. I said, in your opinion, what does it take for a man to go to heaven? And all of them said this, man, I got to do this, or I got to be a good person, or I said, you got to confess with your mouth that you're born a sinner, and you got to believe in your heart that Jesus came and died for you. Have you ever done that? No. Let me tell you, if you've never done that, you better check yourself, because you may pull out of here this afternoon and a car hits you broadside and send you out to eternity. And you ain't preparing for that, but you can get it settled before you walk out of here this morning. Are you stirred up for salvation? If the musician would come and start playing, we'll close this thing down. We need to get stirred up, y'all. We need to get stirred up for sinners. We need to get stirred up for sanctification. We need to get stirred up for service. Why? Because lives of others depend on it. But let me challenge you in here. If you don't know him as your Savior, you need to get stirred up right now. He's squeezing on your heart right now and saying, hey, just accept what I did for you. I want to be the Lord of your life. I want to take you to heaven with me. The Bible says in James chapter number 4 and verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. But what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. In August of 1991, I was going into my seventh grade year. Me and my dad and my brother walked into Athens Orthopedic Clinic in Athens, Georgia. My brother had had an injury on his ankle and we were going to get it seen about. We walked in and we checked in and it was really busy. There wasn't many seats open. And I went and I sat down in the chair right here. And my dad and my brother sat down in two chairs facing this way. About 5 minutes passed and James Foote walks in the door. He checks in and he comes and he sits right beside me. I look over to James, and I said, James, what are you in here for? He said, man, I had hip replacement surgery, and today I'm going to get released. He was excited. He was telling me about it, how he could go back to work and do some other things, and he was excited to get released that day. Well, about 10 minutes later, they came out of the room there, and they called my brother's name, and my brother and my dad got up and started walking towards the back. And I got up and walked behind them. My dad turned around and said, sit down, son. I said, Daddy, please, I just want to go with you. I was 12 years old. Normally, I would have said nothing. I said, I just want to go with you. So he let me go on to the back. We were back there, and the doctor came in, and he was looking at my brother's ankle at the time. As he was knelt down there, all of a sudden we hear, the doctor froze. He looked at my dad, and then we heard it again. Bam, bam. He said, I think that was gunshots. My dad said, I know that was gunshots. I spent 35 years in law enforcement. My dad opens the door of that examining room, and you could see people running down the hallway there screaming and crying and dropping babies, and kids were getting trampled on. Everybody was running from the trouble. My dad walks out, walks into the office where the glass area was, and he looked, and he saw a lady sitting in the seat that I was sitting in. See, James Foote's wife walked into that doctor's office, pulled a .38 revolver out from under her waistline, shot him 3 times in the chest. As he fell out of that chair, she shot him 2 times in the back. I walked out of that room and I looked to my right and I saw James Foote, and I'll never forget it, laying on that ground. Every time he took a breath, red blood would spew out of his chest. What is your life? It's even a vapor. It appears for a little time. Then it vanisheth away. He said, I'm getting released today. He didn't know he was going to get released from this life today. Fast forward 2002, I was working at Oconee County Rec Department. We had a softball tournament or whatever that night. And I was setting up, and this church was playing, and this 16-year-old girl was playing left center field, played high school softball at Oconee County High School. And a ball was hit out to center field, and she ran in, she dove, she made a play, caught the fly ball, stood up, and made a double play out at second base. Everybody with the crowd was going wild. It was a big tournament. She turned around, she started jogging back to her position, and she collapses. We immediately run out there, and people are giving her CPR, calling 911, and the EMTs come. They put the AED machine on her, and they're shot. I mean, 30 minutes is going by. We're doing CPR and the AED machine, and nothing. The EMT looks up and just shakes his head. What is your life? It's even a vapor. It appeared for a little time. She was doing nothing wrong. Nothing. Playing softball for her church. And she's gone. Was she ready? How about you? It can happen at any moment. I challenge you to look deep into your heart this morning. Is the Holy Spirit present? Or are you just trying to stir up something that's not even there? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you a few questions. You say, Brother Derek, I'm 100% sure that if I died today, I'd spend eternity in heaven. And I got Bible reasons to prove it. If that's you this morning, you know without a shadow of a doubt, if you died today, you'd spend eternity in heaven. Would you raise your hand this morning? I know without a doubt that I'd go to heaven. Thank you. Hands all over the building. You say this. You say, Brother Derek, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven, but man, I need to get stirred up for some things. I need to get stirred up for sinners. I need to be witnessing more. I need to get stirred up for sanctification. I need to change my life. I need to get stirred up for service. I need to get busy serving Him. If that's you, would you just, don't even raise your hand, just come on down here. Come on down here and get it settled with the Lord this morning. I need to get stirred up. Lastly, I want to ask you this. You say, Brother Derek, I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd spend eternity in heaven. But I am sure I do not want to go to hell. Listen carefully. I'm not sure if I died today where I would spend eternity. But I am sure I do not want to go to hell. If that's you in here this morning, Would you just lift your hand up? Anybody in here? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died today where I'd spend eternity. Anybody? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd be with this invitation. Lord, I pray that if there's one in here that doesn't know you as their Savior, they wouldn't leave here before getting that settled today. Lord, be with the song as they sing and throughout this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. Won't you come let Him save your soul this morning? Maybe you didn't want to raise your hand because you didn't want that person next to you to see it. If you would, just how about just look up here at me? Just make eye contact with me. Anybody in here? Just make eye contact with me. Oh God, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for saving me on July the 6th, 2009, and changing my life forever. Lord, I thank you for stirring my heart and giving me the desire to preach the gospel. Thank you so much for stirring me up. Lord, I pray that you would be with these people here at Calvary Baptist Church. Oh, what a great church they have here. Thank you for Brother Robbie and the burden that he has for this area. Thank you for the work that he's done here. Thank you for those that are stirred up here already. And I pray, Lord, that you would stir them up even more, and that souls would be saved all over Lake Park, Georgia, in the Valdosta area. Lord, be with us as we leave here this morning. Keep us safe. Bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Are they dismissed? Go ahead.